Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
FBI Director Robert Mueller said, there are only two types of companies, those that have been hacked and those that will be. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who protects businesses from cybercrime. Today's Playmaker led the design of a 10-layer cybersecurity architecture to protect 100,000 employees and billions of dollars. With us today is a CEO who has done business in over 40 countries. This great Playmaker is Jack Blunt. Jack is President and CEO of Intrusion Incorporated. Jack is leading the company's development of a new solution that combines 20-plus years of data and expertise with artificial intelligence to help protect businesses from cybercrime. Intrusion is a cybersecurity innovator that's been fighting cybercrime for more than 20 years and has the largest database of historical internet data. Intrusion provides security products that help businesses protect critical information assets and detects, analyzes, and responds to network and host-based attacks. Jack served as the CTO, COO, and CEO of 8 technology turnaround companies and has served on the board of directors of 12 technology companies, of which 5 were public, and has served as chairman of 5 of those companies. Well, Jack, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you have a BA in math from SMU. You also did your MBA studies while working at IBM. How did your math degree prepare you for both cybersecurity and your leadership role?
Well, I think that, you know, people ask me that question a lot. I think a degree in math is about the best thing you can get. All of life is based on math. Certainly, everything about computers and cybercrime is based on math. So if you don't understand math, you're never going to understand cybercrime. So from that standpoint, I think it really helped me. From a business management standpoint, I think math requires you to think logically and to plan. And I think good leadership is about planning ahead and logically thinking through the ramifications of everything you do. So I think math is really an excellent background for business, and certainly feel like I got a great education at SMU, and very, very proud that I have a math degree, actually.
So did math become your major because of the internet, or just because you had an interest or passion for math?
No, I was absolutely gifted in math as a child. You know, I took calculus in high school back in the 60s. When calculus wasn't taught in high school anywhere. I actually taught my class because my professor kind of co-hosted it because he didn't know calculus, because I wasn't being challenged. So I've been gifted in math. I've loved math since I was a kid. I've always made straight A's in math. It was always effortless to me. So it was just a natural thing for me to go to when I went to college. I got to college, though, and I got introduced to computers. And that's when things started changing for me. So I still love math. I still got my degree in math. But I became very fascinated with what I thought computers could do and where they would go. And again, computers are nothing about using math efficiently.
So how did you get started in cybercrime?
That's a great question. I first got hired out of SMU at IBM. I was working as a software engineer at IBM back when there was only mainframes. Many, many years before the PC was even invented or thought of. But security, when your mainframe started to become very important because businesses started connecting mainframes to other devices. So I actually was working on a product called RackF at IBM back in the early 80s. That was the first IT security product that I'm aware of. It has several patents on it, and it's actually still in use today in 2020. On mainframes. So it's a great product that has evolved. But today, we would call it a cybersecurity product. They didn't know cybersecurity back in 1980. So I really started my career doing cybersecurity and have been involved in cybersecurity in one form or another in all the positions I've had.
Well, let's talk about your company, then we'll talk about some of the products you have. Ward Paxton, who was a friend of yours, began the company 20-plus years ago, I believe. Tell us your association with him and how you became CEO of Intrusion.
Sure. Actually, Ward started and founded the company 37 years ago. And he really started out doing firewalls and routers and was very successful, grew the company very, very well, rapidly, went public. I got to know Ward as a peer, a CEO of a technology company here in Richardson. He was down the street at another CEO of a company here in Richardson. So we met through a member of my board of directors that was a friend of Ward's, went to lunch one day. I was very fascinated in what he was doing at the time, and we just became friends. So we stayed connected. As life will surprise you sometimes, his son actually ended up moving down the street from me in our neighborhood. His son had a son who was my son's age, and they played on the basketball team together in junior high and high school. So Mike and I became friends, as well as Ward and I being friends. We went out on Ward's boat up on the lake on weekends, and we just became real good friends. And when Ward passed last year, I, of course, went to the funeral, and that's when I kind of reconnected with Mike because we moved away and weren't living in Dallas at the time, and learned more about Intrusion and where Ward had taken the company in the last 20 years.
Well, we talked a little bit before the show started, and I understand there's been about $3 trillion in cybercrime theft, and that was a figure from last year, and I understand it's predicted to double by 2021. Tell us about cybercrime, where it is, and what's going on.
Cybercrime is the biggest problem businesses face in the world, in my opinion. I think it is underestimated, misunderstood, for the primary reason that most businesses don't want anybody to know they've been breached. They're afraid of it damaging their reputation and hurting their business. So everybody works really hard at keeping cybercrime a secret rather than talking about it. So therefore, people don't realize how big the problem is. You know, you say $3 trillion, and that's an accurate number. But if you stop to think about what $3 trillion is, that is over 10 times greater than all other crime recorded in the history of America, all in one year. That's larger than the GDP of the United Kingdom. It is a massive, incomprehensible number to most people, $3 trillion, going to $6 trillion. It will increase the price of every product you buy at every store, no matter where you get it from or what country it's made in, if we don't get our arms around stopping cybercrime before it gets worse.
There's a difference between cyber war and cybercrime. I understand you're focusing on cyber war in addition to cybercrime. Why?
Well, I retired after selling my last business, and had fun for a while, but shortly after that, I got called by the president who said they were having a cybersecurity problem and asked me if I would come in and help them out, share some of my industry experience. I did that, and they quickly asked me to actually become a CIO for cybercrime in the federal government instead of a consultant. So I did that. I got completely embroused, just overwhelmed with really the breadth and depth of the problem of cybercrime when you're in the government. We were attacked more than 40,000 times a day. A day. I mean, that's millions. It's an endless amount of attack. And you realize that most of those are nation-state attacks. So we say cyber warfare because it is war. It is the newest form of war. China and Russia are using it against America and other countries on a daily basis, just like they are with the military, with the army, with weapons, with ships. It is the latest warfare. They believe that they can dismantle America with cybercrime.
You had mentioned in talking before the show started how cybersecurity is prevalent. It's everywhere. It's on all the computers. So how has cybersecurity failed?
That's a very good question because, sadly, cybersecurity has failed. And I think it's really failed for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think cybersecurity started out with the premise of being a lock on the door. We all think about security. We all have locks on our doors. We think it makes our home safe. if you live someplace not very safe, you may have three or four locks on your door. That's not uncommon in some major cities. In reality, you still get broken into. You're still not safe. That's one way of looking at it. But the reality, if you look at cybercrime, and the reason I look at it the way I do is, in the last 5 years, I have not ever visited a business that was not already breached. I don't believe one exists today. The quote you had from Mueller was a great quote a few years ago. It's still an important quote, but it misses the point. I don't believe there is any business that has not already been breached. The biggest myth in cybersecurity is, I'm safe. You're not safe. You're already breached. You just don't know it. The cyber criminals will live on your network for anywhere from a year to 3 years before they actually attack you and do you. And that's when you know you have cybercrime, is once you've been hit. But that didn't mean you didn't have cybercrime before. You actually do.
So it's like a disease. We may have it, but we don't see the effects for a couple of months later.
Months or even years. Absolutely.
So what do we do?
Well, we believe that you have to look at the problem differently. We believe adding locks to the doors is not going to work. There's over 800 cybersecurity products. All of them are locks on the doors of some form or another. We believe you have to acknowledge that cyber criminals are on your network and always will be on your network. If you turn the problem upside down, then you have to look at it as a different problem, and that drives you to a different solution. So, again, we believe every network is infected today. So, therefore, our job is not to keep the bad guy out. Our job is to neutralize the bad guy so he can't hurt us. That's a different warfare. That's a different weapon you use. It has a different result. So we say, you're welcome to come into the house. You can't bring a gun. You can't bring a knife. You can't shake anybody's hand. You can't stand within 6 foot of anybody. But you're welcome in my house. That's the way we look at the network. We encapsulate every virus, every malware, every ransomware, anything that's on your network. We neutralize it so it can't talk to anything but itself. Therefore, it can't hurt you in any way. So we don't spend thousands of dollars cleaning your computers just to get it infected the next day. We simply neutralize it. It's like a vaccine. We neutralize it so it's harmless. So it's a complete different solution. We do it 24/7, real time, to every packet of data moving on your network. We use artificial intelligence to be able to work that fast on that many fronts. It's not humanly possible. That's what AI is really good at. It has an infinite amount of processing capabilities to look at problems simultaneously.
Well, hearing what you just said and how you explained it, your new service as a service has a great name. It's called Shield. So how is that different than those cybersecurity solutions?
Well, again, I thank you for that. It is a shield. Again, it's protecting you from the malware, from the viruses. It's shielding you from them doing anything on your network. So we're not trying to lock them out. We're not thinking we're smart enough to do that. We're realizing if you buy a computer in the last 5 years, it was manufactured in China. It came with viruses on it from the manufacturer. The federal government has inspected computers shipped from China and proven this over and over. So there is no way to keep the bad guy from getting on your network. Therefore, again, you have to have a different solution. You have to have a new paradigm. Let's neutralize the bad guys. Don't let them do anything. Let them live there forever. We don't care.
Well, this might be a little redundant based on everything you said, but based on the listeners we have for the show, what size company actually will need your new product, Shield?
Everybody. There are 34 million businesses in America. All of them are under attack. This first myth about cybersecurity is that I'm safe when I'm not. The second myth about cybersecurity is I'm not important enough for the bad guys to attack me, so I'm safe. They don't care. Cybercrime has radically changed in the last few years. It's all driven by artificial intelligence. It's driven by fast computers. It's not driven by people at keyboards at all. It's driven by the fact that you have an IP address, you can be contacted. So cyber criminals are looking for every IP address on the planet every day and finding a way to attack it and finding what resources that entity has and then attacking it. You can be at IBM and get hacked. You can be Chase Manhattan Bank and get hacked. Those have all been in the news. You could be my horse's veterinarian that got attacked just recently. He's just a little guy in a little town trying to take care of my horses. And he got attacked by ransomware and cost him $60,000. He thought he wasn't big enough to be a target. Every business is a target.
So in other words, cybercrime is blind. Is that correct?
That is an exact way to look at it. It is completely blind. It doesn't care. Every connection is a target. Every target has some value, whether it's small or large. When you add it up, it's $3 trillion in 1 year and getting worse.
Why do other businesses in the cybersecurity business not take the same approach as Intrusion?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. Number one, when you have a problem that solutions aren't working for, people are constantly looking for a new solution. So I think there's lots of companies looking for a new solution today because they realize, as you said earlier, cybersecurity has failed. Every business in the world today has a firewall. Firewalls were invented to make your business safe. Therefore, they think they're safe. What do every business on the planet that's been breached have in common? They all have a firewall. Firewalls don't keep you safe. Therefore, you have to look at the problem differently. We have a couple of assets that other businesses don't have. Number one, we have the worldwide largest internet database of activity that we have tracked, recorded, researched, analyzed for 24 years. There is no company anywhere that I've found that has anywhere close to the depth of knowledge. We know what computer talked to what computer, what day and what year and what month and what country. We have an infinite amount of information in our database. That database gives us an ability to do research and analysis on who the bad guys are that nobody else has. Everybody else works from a block list that they think is keeping you safe, and their block list generally has somewhere between 200,000 IP addresses and 800,000 IP addresses. Our block list, because of our 24-year history, has 2.7 billion blocked IP addresses. 2.7 billion. That's how many bad actors there are on the internet. Nobody else on this planet has our database. That lets us do that when nobody else can do it. The second reason we can do that is we've developed over the years a tool that we've been using to do forensics for the federal government and large enterprises for a long time that can real time look at all packets of information on your network, open them, analyze them. We have over 120 protocols that we know that we understand that we can interpret that data. Very few companies have any kind of a product close to that. That product, married with the database, with a layer of artificial intelligence put on top of it that can now use that real-time information to make decisions, gives us the ability to create a product that nobody else has the ability to create right now. If they don't have our database and they don't have our appliance, they can't begin to start with what we're doing. We use those assets to real-time identify and react to any danger and encapsulate it, stopping it from being effective.
Well, based on that, how difficult will it be for a company to actually implement your new product, Shield?
It's going to be extremely easy. Again, I've been in IT for 40 years. I've worked at every level of the company. I've been a software and a hardware engineer. The one thing that I understood for sure was that most people hate IT products because they're difficult to install and maintain. If you talk to any expert, they'll tell you buying a firewall for a large company is a 12-month implementation cycle to get it properly configured and installed and in place so it works. And then it's an ongoing expense every month to maintain it. That makes people hate IT products. So in the very beginning, I said we have to add AI to this product to make it completely self-configurable. Our product is an appliance. We ship it to you. You plug it into your network and turn it on, and it does everything else for you. There is no network configuration. So any business, large or small, with or without an IT department, can buy this product, install it, and it starts working 5 minutes later. We've taken the complete complexity out of how to install and use an IT product. It starts defending you real time. It starts reporting on what it's doing for you. You get a monthly report. The CFO gets a monthly report from our product that says, here's all the sites that we blocked this month keeping your company safe.
How does Shield compare with two other products you have? I believe it's Savant and TraceCop.
Well, again, those are the two assets that I found when I joined this company. TraceCop is our database that we've developed over 24 years. It's this massive intelligence of the internet. That we're using that information. Savant was a network sensor that can look at and open packets of information real time, 120 different protocols. But it previously stored that in a log that IT professionals then would go back and research and try and analyze and try and deal with later. The AI on top of it now analyzes it real time and makes real time blocking decisions to block bad activity. So it takes both of those products, uses them together and marries them, and puts AI on top of it to make it not require IT intervention.
So if someone had interest in Shield, they could contact you through your website, intrusion.com. What kind of marketing are you going to plan for Shield?
Well, we're doing a lot of things. After leaving IBM, I went to a small company at the time called Novell. Some people remember Novell. Some people have forgotten it. Novell was a networking company, and we actually outgrew Microsoft 6 of the 7 years I worked there, back in the 80s and early 90s. The thing I did primarily there was develop and manage the channel. The channel didn't really exist back in the 80s, but we created a channel of resellers worldwide that are trained experts that sell products to businesses. So I've worked with that channel since the 80s. I know that channel well. There's now thousands of resellers out there. We're going to use that channel to give that product, sell that product to their current businesses, the people they already have relationships with. So that will get us access to our marketplace very quickly, very rapidly, get them the technical resources they need so that they can and implement it. We'll obviously do trade shows. We'll do blogs like this. We'll do traditional advertising in magazines. We're going to do everything we can to make the public aware that cybercrime is the biggest problem businesses face in the world and that we have a solution for it today.
Should somebody contact you through your website after hearing this, is that a company that you could work with directly then?
We could. We may send them to a reseller depending on where they're located, what their needs are, but we could absolutely work with them directly. There's not a problem with that. Again, it's a self-service product. I don't have to have IT expertise to install and use it. My target market primarily is CFOs because they're responsible for risk management in their business. So they don't have to be engineers. They don't have to be technical. They have to understand the risk of cybercrime and cyber warfare, and they have to understand that their current products are not keeping them safe. This is a solution. It takes no installation. It takes no cost. They buy no products. They pay a monthly service fee, a very affordable monthly service fee, that keeps them safe. That solution is updated 24/7. By our global solution, so it's real time, it's current, and as long as they're paying their monthly fee, they get to use it.
So how does someone find out more about Intrusion?
They can contact us, send us an email, information@intrusion.com, jack@intrusion.com. We're easy to get a hold of. They can get a hold of any of our resellers and distributors. Any of our partners, we're working on a number of strategic partnerships with them, very large companies right now who have very large install bases for the same reason. We want to get access to those businesses quickly.
Well, Jack, this has been a great show, very interesting. Thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This great playmaker has been Jack Blunt. Jack is president and CEO of Intrusion. It's great having Jack on the show. Thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.